I'm equally thankful tonight, as I was this morning, for an opportunity to be among those of Black Precious Faith as we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Appreciate you being here, and I always think how appreciative I am when someone wants to study the Bible or they want to be busy about doing the things that God would have us to be doing, because there are so many other things that are vying for your time and your attention. Folks, for the most part, live very busy lives and are tired. And you can think of a lot of other things and places you could be doing and being. But you chose to be here, and I appreciate you doing that. And I'm thankful to be with you. And I want, just for a little while, to be able to open up the pages of the Bible and just consider some things that the Bible says as we take another lesson from the book of Zechariah. It's one of the more lengthy books of the minor prophets. And so there's a lot of things that you can learn from this book. There are a lot of messianic prophecies in the book of Zechariah. And it's one of the books, like the book of Isaiah, that spends so much time making statements about the coming of the Messiah. But as most of the books of the prophets written to God's people, attempting to get them to do what is right in the sight of God, trying to get them to remember the God of heaven who blessed them in so many different ways, was faithful to them, trying to get them to see the condition of themselves before God as they had rebelled against God and committed sin, and trying to get them to understand the righteous judgment of God, and that they would face the judgment of God and be scattered upon the face of the earth as a result of their wrongdoing. But in the midst of all of that, that God is faithful to them. That even though that they would suffer the judgment of God, that God promised that He would bless them if they would just return to Him. And that is one of many reminders to us that the very God that we're reading about in the Old Testament is obviously the God that we are serving to God. There is but one God. And the very God that would bless them if they returned to Him is the very God that will bless us if we backslide and will just simply come back to Him. That we can always find God as He was when we left Him. And that He's willing to forgive us and to abundantly pardon us of our wrongdoing. If there was a key word in the 8th chapter of the book of Zechariah, it would be the word truth. It's found 8 times in Zechariah chapter 8. And you could just take a 3-point sermon from the text that was read just a moment ago, and Ethan did a good job in reading from Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 through 19. And you would just talk about from verse 16 to speak the truth, to execute the judgment of truth, and then from verse 19 for a 3rd point to love the truth. And I do want us to think about, as we take this second lesson from Zechariah, about loving the truth. When you think about how important truth is, I mentioned to you this morning briefly, and it's one of our points about the necessity of gospel preaching, but when you think about truth, where would we be without truth? Well, when you think about our condition before God, that it was a result of our sin, that we are separated from God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, from Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 and Romans 6, 23. There's no way that we could be made righteous in the sight of God if it wasn't for truth. And there's a lot of Bible passages that talk about what truth does for us. And without Jesus, we could not know the way. He came into the world to show the way of truth and righteousness to the world. In fact, the majority of the first chapter of the book of John is all about truth. How that Jesus was the light of the world. And He came into the world, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, John 1, verse 12. And then that statement in verse 17 of John chapter 1, that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We could not know truth without Christ. And then a very well-known verse that Jesus stated in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we have to have truth. And then I think about the many things that the Bible says that truth will do for an individual. And truth is given by the Word of God. When Jesus to the apostles stated in John chapter 15, verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." It's a similar thought that is found when Peter is discussing salvation, the fact that we can be made clean when he said, "You have purified your souls." The word clean and purified are kin to one another. You're purified your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so we are made clean by the word of God, purified by the word of God. And the Bible says that we are sanctified by the word of God. Sanctified has the idea of being set apart for a particular use. It's like why we're called saints. And we are referred to as saints. Romans chapter 1 verse 7, Paul wrote to the saints at Rome. And again, that word is kin to the word sanctified. Those that have been set apart. We know we are set apart when we obey the gospel of Christ. Paul talked about in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 13, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we are separated from the world. Another idea is expressed about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 18, that we are separate, that is, we are separated and apart from the world. And so we have the truth of God's Word revealed in the Bible, without which we cannot be right in the sight of God. And again, we're sanctified by it. How do I know we're sanctified by the Word of God? Because Jesus said, "Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 17. So all those passages dealing with truth, and the fact that we're purified, clean, separated, sanctified by truth, and that we are in the dark without the truth that Jesus Christ revealed into the world as a light that shineth in a dark place, and the darkness comprehended it not. Again, from John chapter 1. And so you have a lot of those statements in the book of Psalms about what truth does, that it gives us understanding. Psalm 119, verse 105. "And the word, thy word giveth understanding unto the simple." Psalm 119, verse 130 and 150. But again, how can I know truth? And if I were to ask you, can I know truth? What would be your response? We live in a world where a lot of people think that the Bible is above them, from the standpoint that they think they cannot understand what the Bible teaches, and that you have to have some anointing. I know that's not just me thinking there are people who believe that. I've studied with people who believe that you have to have some special divine anointing to understand the truth of God's Word. Do you think that a person who is not a Christian can understand the Bible so as to be able to obey it and become a Christian? Or do you think that they have to have some special gift from God in order to come to a knowledge of the Bible? Now, sometimes people will have the idea, and they will think about the conversion of the eunuch in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts when he was reading from Isaiah 53, and the eunuch, or Philip, said, "Do you believe or understand what you are reading?" He said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And so they'll stop there and they'll say, "Well, now, wait a minute, Donnie. Here was that a man was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and when he was asked if he understood it, he said, 'How can I understand it except some man should guide me?' And then he desired Philip that he would come up and teach him, talk with him, preach the gospel to him." And so there's an example, they'll say, of a man who did not understand the Scriptures, and he needed to have it be taught to him by some man that was sent from God. How would you respond to that? What are some thoughts that come? What was that, Tom?
He didn't have the fully revealed Word.
That's a very good job, Tom. He was reading from Isaiah 53. We've got the full picture. We could read Isaiah chapter 53 and understand that it was applied to Christ because we had the New Testament, of which he didn't have at the time. And so it would have been very difficult for him to understand that that was a passage that was applied to Jesus, having not known Jesus, and stood in need of being taught about Christ. Now that could happen to anybody if you isolate a scripture and they don't have the teaching of the New Testament. That's the importance of being taught. But Philip did teach him the truth. He began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And then he obeyed the gospel of Christ. But we can understand the fully revealed Word of God. We've got the complete revealed Word of God today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 deals with that. And two statements that Paul made, all in the same book, both in the same book, in the book of Ephesians, is absolutely vital to know that you can understand it. And that's Ephesians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about, I wrote, and if you read, you can understand. Now, could they understand what Paul wrote to them? Well, he said they could if they would just read it. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 17, Paul said, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Could they, the church of Christ at Ephesus, understand what the will of the Lord was? They sure could. Can we understand what the will of the Lord is? We can if we just pick up the Bible and read it, read the truth of God's Word. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. The once for all time delivered faith, according to Jude, verse 3. So we've got all the completed, revealed Word of God. No more revelation to be made. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. And we can read it. And we can reap the benefit of the study, that is the due diligence, the application of our mind to God's Word. That's what the word study, by the way, don't mean homework, because we think about study, but it means the diligent effort put forth by the mind. That's the word study in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling right the Word of God. So truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth will do a lot of things for us. We can understand the revealed Word of God if we just simply study it. But the bulk of our lesson tonight, I want us to think about what can be done with the truth. We just had read here a moment ago from Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 through 19, and verse 19 that says, love the truth. I wish more people today love the truth. I love truth. You love truth, or you won't be here tonight. But then you study with people and you talk to them about what the Bible says, and they just don't want it. They don't have a love of the truth. But heaven will never be our home if we don't open up the pages of the Bible and we do what God says to do with the very word of truth. So I'd like for us to think about 10, 11, 12, 13 things that the Bible says that can be done with truth. Some positive and some negative. Did you ever think about what the Bible says can be done with truth? There's a lot of verses that talk about what truth will do for us. I just gave you a few of them. But there's a lot of them that talk about what God's Word does for us. It saves, James chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, and the other passages I gave to you. It'll be the standard by which we're judged, Romans 2, verse 16. But notice some things that can be done with truth. What individuals do with truth. First of all, you can know it. I mentioned to you, you can understand it, but you can know it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, if you don't know the truth, you're not going to be made free from your sin, the very sin that separates you from God. God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You can know it, the Lord said, John 8:32. God wants you to know it, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4, and 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 3. Talks about that. But also, when you think about what can be done with truth, you can speak the truth. I mentioned that to you this morning. Speak the truth in love. And Acts chapter 26 and in verse 25. Notice what the Bible says, Acts 26 and in verse 25. I'm not mad, most noble Festus, Paul said, giving a defense of himself. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. We need to be more about speaking the words of truth. Galatians chapter 5 and then verse 7. Mentioned to you Ephesians 4 and then verse 15 and Ephesians 4 verse 25. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. So we can speak the truth. The problem is a lot of people do a lot of speaking, but it's not the truth. And the only way that I'm going to know whether it's truth or error is to pick up the Bible and test what they say. 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 2. But the truth can also be obeyed. And it can be disobeyed. And we read a lot about people who did not obey the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 2 and then verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Someone says, I don't obey truth. I don't obey anything. Well, that's not so. If you don't obey truth, you're obeying unrighteousness. There's no way to be not obeying something. You either obey the truth or you obey unrighteousness, that which is against truth. And so it can be disobeyed. And then we see in Galatians chapter 3, it's Paul's writing to the churches of Galatia, oh, foolish Galatians. Can it be said about Christians that they were foolish, though they obeyed the gospel? Could it be said then that they were foolish? It was in this case. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Paul, how could you say that they had not obeyed the truth when you express the fact that they had obeyed the truth in Galatians chapter 1? I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, he said. Because you got to continue obeying the truth. It's not once and you're done and nothing else to do. You got your ticket punched on the gravy train to heaven. But you got to continue to do what God says to do. And as a result of them not continuing, but trying to turn away from the gospel, and in fact had turned away from, being removed from him who had called them unto the grace unto another gospel, Paul could say that who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth crucified among you. And then when you flip over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And so truth can be obeyed. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the truth. Why not do that? Why not obey the truth and be on your way to heaven when life is over? But then I think about a statement in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 8, as you think about what can be done with truth. I had Ephesians chapter 1 verse 8, but that is not the verse I want. I wanted the verse that talks about hearing, but that's okay because we have another verse that talks about hearing, and that's Acts chapter 18 and then verse 8. The fact that many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, they had heard, and as a result of that, they believed and obeyed the gospel. I'll get that verse to you maybe before the evening's out. But it can be heard. And I've made the point to you many times over and over from the book of Acts that every example of conversion in the book of Acts first began by individuals hearing the gospel. No hearing, no conversion. Doesn't matter if you pick any of those conversion examples out. All eight examples, more if you count two in one chapter. All of them began by individuals hearing the gospel of Christ. But also truth can be loved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10 talks about the fact that truth can be loved. A lot of people, again, do not love the truth. But those at Thessalonica love the truth, that obeyed the truth, and Paul even commends them having obeyed the gospel of Christ and talks to them about the fact that they were called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 14. And in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They had believed it. But there were people who did not believe it. And people that you preach to and that you strive to teach many times will not obey or believe the gospel. Then I already mentioned to you 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. As you think about what can be done with truth, because we're to love the truth, it can be rightly divided, handled aright. And that necessarily implies that if Paul is giving them the admonition to rightly divide the word of God, that it can be misused. And indeed, many times people do misuse it. And a lot of the misuse happens because they do not consider the context. I wrote an article, I hope that you read it, about some things that are not found in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And many times, individuals not thinking about the context of a statement, they will use that verse and not even consider the context that it was found in. And we've got to be careful about doing that. But also, it can be resisted. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 8. He says in verse 7, ever learning and ever able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, watch this, watch what can be done with the truth. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Did you know the truth can be resisted? People today many times resist, I just don't want it. I know that the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But I don't want that. I believe I can be saved without doing that. Do you ever think that it was a very strange thing, that it's a very odd thing to me, that individuals will say, I don't believe that you must be baptized in order to be saved, but I believe a person is saved by faith. Well, what if you turn that around and you said, well, now wait a minute, I don't believe you have to believe. Surely the God of compassion that you advocate is just as well off to save me without faith as he would be to save me without baptism. Why not? But the same book that says that we must believe says that we must be baptized and that we must confess and repent. You just go down the line. But individuals resist the truth of God. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 4, the Bible says that it can be turned away from. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I don't know how many times I've studied with individuals, they just simply turn away from the truth. It's not that they can't understand it. It's not that it's not available to them. But they turn away their ears from the truth because they just simply don't want it so. And so we don't want to be in a position where we turn our ears away from the truth. If I were to ask you, what else does the Bible say can be done with truth, since we are to love truth, what would you say about it? What would you put on the list? If you were putting the sermon together and you were compiling a list of things that the Bible says that can be done with truth, what would you put on the list? We could take another from the book of James chapter 3 and in verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The truth can be disobeyed. It can be turned away from, not believed, resisted, and lied against. Did you know that the truth can be lied against? Well, you got examples in the Bible of people trying to hinder individuals from coming to a knowledge of the truth. I'll just give you a recent example of that, which really was the basis for the article that I published. An individual that I'm convinced would have came to a knowledge of the truth had it not been for people who should have known better stood in this person's way from coming to a knowledge of what the Bible says on a particular subject. I'm telling you, you think that there's not present day Elamists who will seek to turn away individuals from the faith as they did Sergius Paulus in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts? And Paul just straight out rebuked him, "Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the way of righteousness?" You better believe there are. It's more excusable for a person who doesn't know any better than it is for people who should know better but don't know better because they won't study the Word of God. It can be erred from. James chapter 5. And then verse 19. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one of you convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin." And again, he's writing to Christian people. The truth can be erred from God's people. I'm talking about not just simply being turned away from by people who have not obeyed the gospel, but simply erred from by people who have obeyed the gospel. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God," Hebrews chapter 3 and then verse 12. And he just wrote this to Christian people. "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin." And then I think about a statement in 2 Peter chapter 2, begin with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, as you think about what can be done with truth. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And then he talks about the righteous judgment of God after that. Last point. What would you put down as to what can be done with the truth if you only have one more point? We've talked about many. This is number 13. Just on things that can be done with truth. Not what truth does. Not how truth came to the world. Not by how important it is. We've talked about all that. Number 13. Truth can be walked in. In the book of 3 John. 3 John 4. Only one chapter. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in love," or in truth rather. "No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Did you know it can be walked in? He wrote a similar statement in 2 John 4 when he said, "I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Lord." It's similar to that statement that is found in the first chapter of 1 John. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sins." Have you obeyed truth? Are you a Christian? "Preacher, what must I do to be saved?" All of that hinged on the statement, again, of Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 through 19, when he ends by truth. I hope you love truth and that you always want to study it, continue to grow in it. Appreciate Bible questions. I was asked a Bible question this morning before service, and I thought about it this afternoon. People ask questions, gets the gears turning. That's good because you just add to it. As I stayed in the Bible class, and just get better and better and better at learning the Word of God. What must I do to be saved? It's not changed from this morning. The same book reads the same. And though the world stands for another 2,000 years or more, individuals 2,000 years from now will be becoming Christians the same way that we have. Same way 2,000 years ago that they became Christians. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, Believe it, Hebrews 11:6. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Romans 10:9 and 10. And be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Maybe you're here tonight, most of you have obeyed, but maybe you're here tonight and you realize that you've not lived your life right. You went back out into the ways of the world and you want to straighten all that up and come home where you belong. Where you realize that you had better with your Father. You can come back home. And that's something that we serve a God that says, listen, if you do wrong, you can come back home. I've made provision for that. I want you to come back home. And we know that He does. 1 John 1, now we have His assurance that He'll forgive us if we'll repent of that unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. He'll abundantly forgive and pardon. Don't delay. Come right now.